Welcome to the Real Estate Reality Show. This segment is brought to you by Arrow Moving and Storage. Whether you're moving across the street or across the country, call Arrow Moving and Storage, 719-325-6341. Now, your host and back-to-back Best of the Springs realtor, Justin Hermes.
All right, folks, thanks for joining me. Another show here at Real Estate Realities. If you're tuning in for the first time, my name's Justin Hermes. We do this every Sunday, 10:30, replay at 1. We got a very special guest on, Steve Schleicher, County Assessor. We're going to introduce him in a bit. But obviously, you radio listeners know this is Easter Sunday. So what a special day. And it's just, we're so blessed. We live in a great community. And I think that's really the thing I try to focus on in days like today is just all the blessings we have as Americans in Colorado Springs. And it's just very special. So we're going to lead into the show here and talk about really what is a county assessor. Some of you tune in for the first time may not know, because we've talked about it on past shows, because it's such an important thing to know what your taxes are in certain areas. Be aware of that. It controls your cash flow and your monthly payment. So that's why we brought Steve in. He's going to go through some stuff. It's going to be a wealth of knowledge for you. And just remember, if you're listening right now, you're cruising down the road and you're going, what did he just say? I missed it. I didn't take some notes. You just go to CaritoNewsRadio.com or you go on Spotify, Apple. It's all over there. Real Estate Realities. And you just go in and you can hit replay and take a bunch of notes. So without further ado, Steve, thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. Justin, happy Easter, man.
It's a beautiful thing, man. I love it. It's one of my favorite holidays.
I as well, you know, and I've been here for 47 years, and you know, you are absolutely right. Is we are so blessed to be living in El Paso County, Colorado.
It's a fabulous thing. It's funny because you don't realize until, and at least myself, I've traveled less because of COVID and everything going on. It's not as fun to travel, and just got out and about like over the last couple of months, and I go, man, we have it so good here. When you go to certain places of California and you see gas at $6 and you see the property taxes out there and go, how does someone afford a home if you're paying $20,000? How does that add up, right? It's like going to a different country. You come back here and go, we have it so good.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you sit there and you look at, you know, our taxes compared to what California or even the Midwest. But you know, when I spent 11 years in the Marine Corps, the biggest thing that I missed was looking at the mountains going, okay, there's West. So
That's the biggest benefit right there, right? It's easy to know where you're going.
Absolutely.
So we got 1 minute here before we go into the break. Steve, if people have questions, do you have contact information they can just call the office and say, you know, I had a question about this certain topic they covered and can I get some clarity on it? Is that okay to give that information out?
What I always give out is my cell phone.
Okay.
So my cell phone, 719-502-1534. Anybody can call, anybody can text, and I'll get right back to it.
Fantastic. Yeah, not a lot of people do that, so I throw it out there with caution, but a lot of people do have questions instead of calling me and going, do you remember? Take it straight to the source, folks. So stick around. We're heading into the second segment. We're going to keep Steve over, and you're listening to Real Estate Rallies. Justin Hermes, any questions, get back to me, 232-1063. We'll be right back. Are you ready for?
We're back to the Real Estate Reality Show with Justin Hermes. This segment is brought to you by House Check, servicing the Front Range of Colorado Springs for over 25 years with the most complete and personalized home inspection. Call them now for more information at 719-266-1645.
Folks, welcome back into the second segment. We're going to get right into it here. We're going to be throwing a lot of questions at Steve here, and he's been on the radio before. He's been here with Andrew, and a very familiar face around the studio, so he does a great job when it comes to radio. But what I would say first is, what is the role of a county assessor, and really, how do you get elected to that? How long's the term? How many employees? Just so people get a visual on who we're talking to.
Justin, all of those are some great questions, and you know, one thing is, when I ran to be county assessor here in El Paso County back back in, 2013, a lot of folks had no idea what the role of their county assessor is. And that elected official plays a major impact here in the county. And what your county assessor basically does is discover, list, classify, and value all taxable and exempt property here in El Paso County. That is a huge undertaking, one of which is we're the largest county, most, in regards to parcels, and we're also the most populous. So we've overtaken Denver, and we are growing leaps and bounds beyond Denver. Today, I have a staff of 43 full-time employees. So, one thing I'm extremely proud about is every one of those employees, I give them a pat on the back. They are a blessing. We are the smallest staffed metro assessor's office in the state of Colorado. However, we're the largest, as I just mentioned. So, these guys are working extremely hard. The taxpayers are getting a bang for their buck. We're out there picking up new construction. Everywhere you go, you're seeing new rooftops going up, single family or even new commercial. And, at the same time, you have heard that the new auditorium going up off of up north. So we were up there, working with the developers on that and stuff. But yeah, you're just extremely busy right now. We are probably setting records month by month with regional building, with permits coming in and picking up new single family homes and also commercial properties. Every month is a new record that we're setting.
Yeah, it is wild. What's been the growth as far as employees? Was it about the same when you started 8 or 9 years ago?
So I've been in the office since 1999. As soon as I got out of the Marine Corps, I strolled around downtown and I pulled a flyer off the cork board. And I think the only reason I got the job is because no one knew about it. So I took it off. So
hey, that's a way to get away from the competition. I like it.
Absolutely.
Work smart, not hard, right? Is what they say?
Definitely, Justin. So, in fact, at that time, the assessor's office, if I remember correctly, had 76 employees. Today, we're down to 43.
And that's just so funny because that's opposite of what I thought the answer would be because all the growth and the cranes downtown since then.
Let me give you an oxymoron. Government efficiency and effectiveness. That's what it's about. When you're looking at, reducing your staffing by almost 100% and still meeting your statutory requirements, passing your audits, yearly audits, because my office gets audited yearly, and you definitely want to make sure your assessor is audited yearly, make sure there's no hanky-panky going on. But yeah, we're doing as much, if not better, with 43 full-time employees.
God, you're lean and mean, huh?
Yeah, lean and mean. But, it's one of those things where there was so much redundancy and it was recognized back in the day that we need to go ahead and get rid of that. And that's something that my predecessor and I have really worked on, where people now have complete ownership of their job, where before one person touched the file, then another person touched the file. So, it was just the government mantra. But like I said, the oxymoron is government efficiency.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, because we don't see a lot of that.
Absolutely, right? Definitely.
It's sad to say, but a lot of the time that's a rare thing to see. So talk a little bit about, obviously, we're into tax season here. That's more folks are looking at their taxes that they're owed to the state or federal, but you also get the property taxes that come out. If you can just explain to the radio listeners, number one, I'll tell you guys, be careful. You got to know, is your mortgage being escrowed or not? That's the first thing. And second thing is know the timeline you have to pay those bills and everything like that. So any insight you can add to that topic?
Justin, I am so glad you brought that up because there are a lot of property owners that do not understand that their monthly payment includes principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. So they're paying their PITI, but they'll send a first half payment into the county treasurer's office and have to wait a little bit to get that money back. So truly understand if you are paying your taxes through your mortgage company and your mortgage company is, paying the taxes for you. But, there's some good news and bad news. The bad news was the first half of taxes, they were due February 28th. Then the second half is due June 15th. Or, many people elect to go ahead and pay the full payment on or before April 30th. So there's two different options where a taxpayer can pay their property taxes. But
Stop you there real quick.
Yeah.
April 30th. Is it got to be in the mail by April 30th or got to be to your office by April 30th? What's the type of cutoff? Are you that strict on it?
So, that is a county treasurer question, but okay. I will sit there and, I will share that I believe they will take postmarks. So if you postmark it on April 30th, put it in there, just like our federal taxes. If it's postmarked April 15th, then that's basically said, hey, it's timely filed. But what I want to share.
Can people pay that online?
They can.
Okay.
Definitely. That is a really good question. So our new treasurer, well, I shouldn't say new, but he's been our treasurer here for 8 years now, has provided that option as far as paying online, which is a huge, huge perk for our taxpayers here in El Paso County.
Perfect. All right. I interrupted you.
No, not at all. One thing I wanted to share with you as most folks don't know, what is the calculation that goes into paying the property taxes? Well, there's three different items that go into that. So what you're looking at is you have your assessor's market value, then you have the assessment rate that is determined by the state legislature, because you are not taxed on your market value, you're taxed on your assessed value. So currently the assessment rate for single family is 7.15%. So you take your market value, multiply that by 7.15%. That is called the assessed value, multiplied by the mill levy of the tax district you live in. And we all live in different tax districts. Some live in D38, some in D20, D11. We're all in different taxing districts. But the good news is the state legislature is lowering the assessment rate for single family and multifamily properties this next year. So it's going to drop down from 7.15% down to 6.95%, which means you will see a slight reduction in your assessed value, which possibly can mean a slight reduction in your property taxes for next year.
And what spurred that on? Was it affordability, I would guess?
You know, it was basically, it came down from the governor's office, and I think it was COVID driven. You know, where he also looked at a different commercial properties, things like that. But absolutely, I think it's affordability.
Yeah. And then what's the difference between a commercial property and single family? Is there any difference in mill levy and how those are paid and how often they're paid?
Well, yes, there's a major difference. So the assessment rate, as I mentioned, for single family is 7.15%. The assessment rate for non-residential, which is commercial and vacant land, is 29%. So these property owners are paying quadruple the amount of taxes than single family residential property owners are. So, you know, that is just one thing that was established in the Gallagher Amendment. And I think it's going to be addressed because the voters repealed Gallagher this last year.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of stuff's going on up at our state capitol that I'm keeping my pulse on regarding property tax, right?
Yeah, that's just such a good thing for the radio listeners to hear that, right?
Yep.
Because it's not something that you hear often, right? People talk about the residential mill levy and the different areas, the different school districts and stuff like that. But my question would be, you know, we had this VRBO talk. I had you in, I think, a year or two ago.
Yep.
And you said the state was trying to tax the VRBOs at a commercial mill levy. Did that just go away, or is it still kind of lingering out there?
You know, Justin, it's still lingering out there, and I'm fighting it quite a bit, because what I don't like is elected officials coming down and saying, you know, we want more money. And I've actually had conversations with some of our state senators that represent our northern counties where, you know, we just want the money, and they don't understand private property rights. They don't understand the ramifications that can happen, you know, in some counties. El Paso County is extremely unique. And the reason why it's unique is we have a lot of veterans. We have a lot of active duty service members. And these folks are, you know, basically doing the same thing as we are. Is, you know, our gas has gone up, utilities gone up, food's gone up. And so they're looking at the gig economy of just trying to get by and put food on the table. Well, the concern that I have, and I've dealt with several property owners regarding this, is where they will open up, convert their basement into an Airbnb to bring in extra money to pay their mortgage payment. However, they have a VA loan. And as you know, VA does not loan on commercial property. And if the VA found out about that, and if their assessor valued as a commercial property, the VA would call the note and they will lose their mortgage. We are doing a disservice to that property owner. So there are a lot of things I feel that need to be discussed prior to government intervention going, we're going to go ahead and you know, start valuing these as commercial, because there's a lot of cons by doing that here in the state of Colorado.
I think greatly. And I think you almost, if you even went down that rabbit trail, you have to break up the people who are doing it to supplement and they're living in the property rather than the person who is not living in the property. It's strictly a VRBO. And then I'd like to even take it a step further and go, if you're not a resident of Colorado, I think you should be paying way more, because we're not getting you to spend your money here in the economy. So whether I'm right or wrong on that, I just think that it's not fair to treat the homeowner who is trying to come up with some extra income and in a hyperinflation economy we're seeing, rather than, you know, treat them the same as an investor who has seven or eight different VRBOs.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more in regards. There's a big difference between owner-occupied and non-owner-occupied, you know, short-term rentals. But it is a major topic of conversation. And what's happening is it's our mountain communities that are pushing this, where they don't have any housing up there. Everything's being converted to short-term rental Airbnbs. So it's the mountain communities, you know, Summit County, Park, those types of places that are pushing for these to become, you know, commercial, because they don't have any housing inventory.
Yeah, and I kind of get that almost, because I look at their inventory and it is kind of, we think inventory is bad here. You go up there and the affordability, it's tough. But I think you still have to go about it the right way. That way you're not hammering the person who's, you know, legitimately trying to stay in their home and, yep, you know, stay in the current city they're living in. We're going to keep Steve over. We're going to go into the third segment here. We got a lot more questions for him. But real quick, how often do the do you guys assess the properties?
Yep. So every odd year is a reappraisal year here in the state of Colorado. We just wrapped up the 2021 reappraisal, and we are already starting to work on the 2023 reappraisal. So we're collecting data, and our data collection period will end here on June 30th of this year, and we're already knee-deep in the 2023 reappraisal.
Gotcha. And so that is when your taxes can go up, is
correct,
in 2023. You're not going to see them go up in 2022.
Right. Well, it's going to be the treasurer works a year in arrears. So the 2023 valuations will be on your 2024 tax bill.
There you go, folks. So it does get a little complicated. And then, yep, if you do go into dispute as well, you're looking back, am I right, 2 years?
Yep.
As far as finding values, where if you said, hey, I don't think I'm being assessed fairly, is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. And Justin, a lot of folks don't understand is, yes, our 2021 reappraisal appeal period, it ended June 1st of 2021. However, taxpayers still have appeal rights. If you didn't appeal, you can do it via an abatement.
Yeah.
So you can still reach out to me if you don't agree with the value. Is we can sit there and if determined, we can lower the value and that will reduce your taxes. Just reach out to me and we'll take a look.
There you go, folks. Stick around. We're cruising into the third segment. You're listening to Justin Hermes here on Cardio News Radio, Real Estate Realities 232-1063. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Reality Show. Now here's Justin Hermes.
I like the waves, I rise up. In spite of the ache, I rise up. And I do it 1,000 times again.
Hey folks, welcome back in here. You're joining us on Real Estate Reality's Justin Hermes. We got Steve Schleicher here. I kind of butchered that last name, Schleicher. Need to slow it down a little bit.
It took me sixth grade to spell it, Justin.
So. I love it. So we got a lot of good information, folks. If you're just joining us, go online, Cardio News Radio, go back, listen to the first and second segments. But one thing I do want to say, I have been in your office before. I've been in there to dispute my own taxes. Was more successful in the past. I've gotten less successful now. So, I don't know what's up with that. I will say you guys are very helpful. I've been in there in line, and you have some elderly people in there and your staff, and you will come out and say, hey, let us help you find other values if you feel like, yep, this isn't assessed right, rather than you would think this sounds bad, but you go into government office, they go, sorry, you need to have that information for us. It was refreshing to see how helpful your staff was. So, yep, kudos to you and you guys being open to people saying, hey, I do want to challenge, you know, my taxes.
Justin, the value is just my opinion of value. And the property owner knows the property way better than I or my staff do. You know, when you sit there and look at, hey, do you have foundation issues? Are there problems from a hailstorm that happened that you haven't corrected and brought it up to market? You know, just a lot of, you know, different things that we have seen here in our community. You know, I'm still dealing with properties from the landslides from the 2015, yeah, rains and Black Forest fire back in 2013. Just a number of natural disasters that we're still dealing with. But
so what happens in that scenario? People call you and then you or one of your staff members goes out and physically looks at the property?
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So what if it's just like, hey, my house is really dated and I haven't updated anything since the 70s, is that worth a phone call too?
You know, a lot of times a property owner will take pictures and just upload them, send them to us.
And you guys take a look and go, okay.
Absolutely.
You know, we would consider this below average?
Below
then?
Average.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. It's a very easy process. And one thing that I wanted to do as your county assessor is remove that stigma that government offices are adversarial. I absolutely do not want that. I recognize the day that I got sworn in. Well, as assessor, you don't get sworn in, you get sworn at. So, you know, it's one of those where you look at is that the voters allowed me to just rent their seat for 4 years. Yeah.
And so I'm one of those guys. I, you know, hope and pray that if I have issues with an assessment down the road after being assessor, that I get treated the same.
Yeah, that's a great attitude. That's why I had the end, because I know what type of person you are, how you operate, and you have such a good reputation, especially among the realtor community. I mean, the realtors really do respect you. And so let's talk a little bit about this. You know, we got about 5-6 minutes left. I want to talk about what you're currently doing now, because you are in the middle of a campaign. You got some new ideas. So just go over that so the radio listeners kind of know what's on the docket for you.
Justin, thank you for asking. Yes, so I did announce that I'm running for El Paso County Clerk and Recorder back in June. And one of the big reasons why that I decided to run was I recognized early on that there is a lot of concern out there regarding voting and elections and things like that. A lot of conversation going on about that. And I made the decision is collectively, I don't want to see a candidate coming into El Paso County or getting elected to this position that basically says, we're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I think this is an opportunity. I've lived here for 47 years where I believe the next clerk and recorder needs to have significant community engagement and needs to sit there and talk to the community as a whole. Because these offices that we're talking about, they're not policy offices. These are statute-driven offices. So you follow the law, you don't make the law. But if you sit there and you don't agree with the law, then you work with your legislators and state senators to get things changed. But I think this is a huge opportunity where instead of dividing the community is we need to bring the community together. And let's talk about the concerns. One of which is, I absolutely agree, election security is we definitely need to sit there and work on that. Updating the voter rolls. You know, the things that I can do as coming in from as a county assessor is using data, your assessor's data, treasurer's data, coroner data, utilities data. This data that I currently use today to value property, review ownership, things like that is where we can automatically update the voter rolls that way. The other thing is, not only is voting rights and voting security extremely important, but what about the different realms of the clerk and recorder? Because your clerk and recorder is the face of county government. They're the recording, Department of Motor Vehicles, elections, the county board, and the county board of equalization. It's also the second level of property appeals if you're not happy with the assessor's decision. But what
so if people aren't happy with you now, they're going to have to deal with you again soon.
Absolutely.
You know, you might as well find a way to get happy.
Definitely. But nobody better in the state of Colorado to take as far as having a licensed certified appraiser in the state of Colorado at the second level of appeals. No other county has that individual as far as clerk and recorder. But let's talk about property rights. And Justin, you know how I have fought for private property rights for the senior homestead exemption, disabled veteran exemption over the years with the state of Colorado. One thing that I want to do as your next clerk and recorder is provide a program for all of our property owners for free. And the analogy I want to give to you, it's a LifeLock, almost like a LifeLock program. If anybody files a lien, a quick claim deed, a warranty deed, or a beneficiary deed on your property, you're going to get notified. So you're
going to
get.
That's awesome. That's why you call it the security lock you hear on Dave Ramsey.
Absolutely. So this is something that we can do for free for every property owner in El Paso County, because I already have the assessor's data as we work with our county IT department. It's a very easy program that we can establish. But the property owner can opt in going, I want texted or I want phone called or I want mailing. But here's what happens is we are seeing an upswing in quick claim deeds where folks are starting to file fraudulent deeds. This is something that we also need to be aware of, where a property owner, if a quick claim deed or a lien on their property is filed, they are notified immediately. If the property owner says, Steve, you know, as my clerk and recorder, I did not file this, then that is where we turn it over to the district attorney and also to El Paso County CSPD to investigate and charge them with fraud.
Yeah. That's huge, folks. I mean, that's the type of stuff. And I'll put you on the hot seat here a little bit. We talked 2 years ago because I remember these conversations pretty well. And you were pushing for, if you're a senior and you're downsizing, for that 10-year clock not to restart again. Am I remembering that correctly?
You are remembering that correctly. And Justin, I will tell you, I'm tired of the legislature telling me no. So we ran that bill where what the bill was, is to increase the senior homestead and the disabled veteran exemption from 50% of the first $200,000 to 50% of the first $400,000. You know as well as I do, there is no home here in this community you can find for $200,000. So we are increasing the exemption and we're also making it portable. Well, the bill died, you know, and it was party line vote. So the bill died up at the House. Well, I got tired of that and I found a couple senators. We're taking it to the vote of the people. So it's going to probably be on the ballot this November.
That's awesome. Way to the tenacity.
Yeah. I'm I'm tired of being told no. This is something that our seniors and our disabled veterans here in our community deserve. So let's let the vote of the people decide.
So they're going to see that on the ballot, then.
They are. In fact, it is actually being run right now, ballot language, and so I'll be testifying on it. But yes,
that's huge.
I want it to go to the vote.
Thank you. Thanks for doing that.
Absolutely.
You radio listeners, I mean, that carries a lot of weight. It really does. So, but no, it's just been such a great show to have you on because there's just so much there to offer. And is there anything else you just want to share with the radio listeners, whether campaign, if people want to donate or just get in touch with you, stuff like that?
You know, if anybody wants to figure out more about me and, you know, my goals as far as being your next clerk and recorder, just, you know, go visit my website. Or like I said, you can sit there and text me or call me. You can go to steveschleicher.com. But, you know, one thing I just want to share with everybody is, again, let's go back to how you introduced, is we are so blessed to live in this community. We've got a great county, a city, a lot of great things to be thankful for. And I just want to, you know, wish all your listeners a happy Easter.
Yeah, thanks so much. Steve, appreciate your service, too. We really honor our military and appreciate you coming on the show. Folks, that's another one in the books. Hopefully you join me next Sunday at 10:30, again at 1. But remember, the most important thing is using the gifts God has given you to bless others. And as you look at this Easter time, I'll tell you personally, having faith, belief in Jesus Christ, and that he will carry you through. You get to times where it doesn't seem like things are going well. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. And I think it's been a blessing to me to have that relationship. So I want to leave you with that as it is Easter Sunday. And Steve, thank you again for coming in your time.
Thank you,
I know you're a busy man.
Absolutely. Anytime. Give me a shout.
Awesome. Fantastic. Folks, make sure you vote for Steve Schleicher. And Matt, I'm going to give my phone number now. Or do I need to give Steve's phone number again? Okay. Got it. Getting bossed around here. 719-232-1063 is mine. Steve, go ahead.
And my number is 719-502-1534. Thank you, everybody.
All right, happy Easter. God bless.
The proceeding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio. Couldn't shake him a derail. Three nails could pierce, but couldn't break him or make him appear.